Charlie was having the worst week of his life. His plane, traveling from Sydney, Australia to Los Angeles, crashed on a deserted island. And Charlie found himself trapped with strangers on a strange island where strange things were taking place. Charlie was the lead bass guitar player in a band no one had heard of, and above all else, Charlie was addicted to drugs. Now, of course, this is a fictional scenario, comes from the TV show Lost, but I think Charlie's journey can provide a lot of insight for us into our theme today, the theme of temptation. During this week from hell, John Locke, who will eventually become Charlie's mentor and almost a father figure in the show, sees that Charlie has a drug problem. And he also sees that Charlie will eventually run out of drugs. And he will go through a very painful withdrawal process. So he says, "Charlie, give me your drugs and I will give you the location of your guitar, the thing you want most on this island. I want you to choose to give up your addiction. Choose to do it." So Charlie, in order to get his guitar, the thing he wants most, gives Locke his drugs. He gets the guitar, but almost immediately asks for the drugs back. And John Locke shakes his head and looks at him and says, "Charlie, you are hurting yourself, but I'm going to allow you to ask for your drugs 3 times. And after the 3rd time, you can have them back." And thus begins Charlie's temptation. Last week, we began our homily series, Lenten homily series, Breaking Free. And Father Jim proposed a challenge and encouragement to us. During this Lent, he says, God wants to set you free personally, not just as a community, not for just somebody else, but you and I personally, from whatever burdens us, whatever chains cling to us, what wounds we carry, places in our life that are not yet healed. The Lord wants to break us free and now allow us to have a freedom that we perhaps never known before. And this week, Jesus shows us that one of the ways in which we can be set free is to understand temptation. So what is temptation? Temptation is not sin. It's not sin. Sin is our actions against God and His commandments. Sin is our choice to choose to be against God, to go against His commandments. Temptation, on the other hand, is a suggestion or gentle push towards sin. It's as if temptation whispers in our ear, "This isn't so bad. It'll be fine. Did God really say not to do that?" Like Charlie, every one of us has to struggle with temptation. And even Jesus struggles with temptation in the gospel. The Holy Spirit guides Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And we must remember that Jesus goes into this desert to be tempted for us. As the letter of Hebrews reminds us, He goes into the desert to be tempted to have compassion on us, so that we know that He has experienced every temptation that we can experience, and therefore can sympathize with our weakness when the attacks of temptation come. But Jesus' temptation also reminds us, in very specific ways, some of the most deadly temptations that can come between us and God. The temptation of pride, human comfort, and greed. So this week, the question we must first ask ourselves is this: what are the areas in your life where you experience temptation? Perhaps we experience temptation to lust, sensuality, or to violate one's vocational promises in marriage. Perhaps we seek vengeance for our harm done and hold on to anger, resentment, and unforgiveness. Perhaps we relive a past hurt over and over again and are not open to God's healing. Perhaps we are tempted to engage in a destructive behavior by an addiction to drugs or alcohol, sex or food, or something else. The first step in allowing God to heal us, to break us free of these things, is to name the temptation. Where is your temptation? Name the temptation and then show it to God. Bring it to Him. So now that all of us are right now thinking of our major temptations, let's return to Charlie and his own temptation. Just one day after giving up his drugs, he returns to Locke and comes to bring him news about an accident that happened to another character. But Locke sees very quickly that's not the motive for Charlie's arrival. Locke says, "You did not come here to tell me about this situation, did you?" Looking sorrowful, Charlie replies, "I want my stash of drugs. I can't stand feeling like this." "Come here. I want to show you something." Locke takes Charlie to a tree and shows him a small object about 2 inches long, and pointing to the object with his pocket knife, he says, "What do you suppose is in this cocoon, Charlie?" Charlie says, "I don't know, a butterfly? It's much more beautiful than that. It's a moth cocoon. It's ironic, butterflies get all the attention, but moths spin silk, they're stronger, faster. You see this hole at the top of the cocoon? This moth is just about to emerge. It's in there right now, struggling, digging its way through the thick hide of cocoon. Now, I could help it. Take my knife, slightly widen the opening at the top of the cocoon, and the moth would be free. But it would be too weak to survive. Struggle is nature's way of strengthening it. This is the second time you've asked for your drugs back." Holding up the drugs in front of Charlie's face, he said, "Ask again, and it's yours." The gospel account of Jesus' temptation and our own experience of temptation makes us ask a very important question. Why do we experience temptation in the first place? Why does God allow this to happen to us? My friends, we are created for greatness, to be noble, excellent, great saints of God, ones who participate in the work of God, His saving work, to do it with Him. We're called to greatness. And as John Locke points out in the story, struggle is nature's way of strengthening a moth to allow it to become a strong, amazing creature that it is. In the same way, God allows us to experience temptation for us to grow in strength, for us to be able to grow into the amazing son and daughter that He intends us to be, and for us to choose God over and over again, to draw close to Him in a way that we could not otherwise. Does God want us to fall into sin through temptation? Absolutely not. Never. But God allows us to experience temptation to strengthen us. We read in the letter of James, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love Him." We are called to greatness and excellence. And if we are tempted, and we will be every day, it is because the Lord loves us and calls us to greatness and true strength in Him. But at this point, though, you're probably thinking, okay, that's fine and great. But our common experience of temptation is failure, falling. So what are we supposed to do with this? I think our first reading presents us with the answer. We read, "The people of Israel cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and He heard our cry. He brought us out of the land of Egypt with His strong hand and outstretched arm, with terrifying power, with signs and wonders, bringing us into this country." The people of Israel looked at their time in Egypt, my friends, that great time of Exodus out of Egypt, as an experience of temptation to sin, falling into sin, and then being enslaved by sin. But the Lord did not just let His people stay there, did not let His people wallow in temptation and sin. Rather, He broke them free. And the Lord will do the same for us in hours of temptation, times of temptation. But what did the people of Israel do? They cried out, "Lord, save us." Isn't this exactly what St. Paul talks about in the letter to Romans today? He says, if we say, with confidence and faith, Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. Question for us to ponder is this: are we convinced that Jesus will come to save me, will come to reach out to me in my time of temptation? Absolutely, he will. But we have to call out in faith and confidence, Lord, help me. Jesus, you are Lord of my life, Lord of this universe. Come save me in times of temptation. It's a great theologian that once wrote, if God permits us to be tempted, he does not permit us to be tempted beyond our strength. And accompanying every temptation, there is always a special grace sufficient to overcome it. My friends, there is always help available. Always. All we need to do is cry out to the Lord, and he will save us. Once again, the letter of St. James says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw close to God in prayer and the sacraments. Pray every day, and go to confession often. Draw close to God and stay there. I had an experience recently where I didn't so much experience a temptation, but I knew a temptation was coming. I knew it was going to come. And I was like, I don't want to deal with this. I have enough going on in my life. So I texted a friend. I said, I'm going to experience a temptation soon. Could you pray for me for protection? Friend texts back, absolutely. The temptation never came. Never came. It was stopped in its tracks by prayer. For all of us, this can happen. Prayer can stop temptation. So in the midst of temptation, call out. Go to confession frequently. Call a friend, email a friend. Say, I need prayers right now because I am going through temptation. Before we leave this section on strategies against temptation, I want to offer you one piece of advice for resisting temptations to lust or sins against sexuality. St. Philip Neri once advised, in the warfare of the flesh, only cowards gain the victory. That is to say, those who fly. We often think when we enter into temptation, we have to stand our ground and fight. That's not St. Philip Neri's advice. What is his advice? Run away. Don't be a hero. Instead, distract yourself. Take a walk. Take a cold shower. Call a friend. Remember, in the warfare against lust, only cowards gain the victory. That is to say, those who run away. So let's return once more to Charlie and his temptations. On the third day, John Locke is standing by a campfire on the island, and Charlie comes up to him with his black hood drawn up over his face, his eyes puffy and red from the withdrawal. And he offers his hand and says, give them to me. John Locke, looking suspiciously at him, says, this is the third time. Are you sure you really want them? I've made my choice. Reluctantly, Locke pulls the drugs out of his pocket and places them in Charlie's hand. And Charlie takes the drugs and looks at them almost lovingly and then flicks them into the fire. And Locke, with a smile at Charlie, says, I'm proud of you. I always knew you could do it. Charlie is now free. A freedom he chose, and a freedom that has made him stronger. And as he looks up from the fire into the night sky, he sees the moth now set free from its cocoon, now stronger, now free to be the amazing creature that it is. God sends temptation to us to bring us into greater freedom, but we do not overcome temptation on our own. Struggling with and escaping temptation is God's gift to us. That is why we cry out, Jesus, help me. Ask for help. Pray at the moment of temptation. Ask others to pray for you. Always remember, our struggle with temptation is God's way of strengthening us. Go to Jesus. Allow him to break you free from the bondage of temptation.